Hello. Thank you for listening to part four of the four-part teaching series titled Praise, given by Pastor Grace Jiang of Forerunner Christian Church. What you are listening to is the English translation of the teaching originally given in Mandarin Chinese. May God richly bless you as you listen.
I'm wondering if you have been accountable in doing the homework that was assigned during our last session. For those who don't know what the homework is, please check the previous lesson. In our last discussion, we looked at Psalm chapter 149, verses 1 through 4. This time, we want to move on and examine verses 5 through 9. Let the godly ones exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgment written. This is an honor for all his godly ones. Praise the Lord. Verse 5 explains that the godly ones of God ought to exult in glory. What then is glory? Miss Robinson, a godly woman, explain that glory is that unexplainable light that emanates when the presence of the Lord is present. I remember that for many years as a Christian, I didn't have any understanding as to what exactly is glory. It all changed the day I was filled with the Holy Spirit, because the first thing that I encountered in the filling of the Holy Spirit was the glory of God, the light that emanates from coming into encounter with the presence of God. So when verse 5 tells the godly ones to exult in glory, we understand it to mean that we are to exult over the presence of God in our lives, even to the point of exulting in joy while lying in our beds. We have covered quite extensively on the topic of praise through the first four verses of the psalm. First of all, we see that praise is not a particular worship style of a church. We see this point proven from the Old Testament all the way to the book of Revelations. Praise is God's revelation of the heavenly worship into the heart of David, as well as to the Apostle John, causing them to have an understanding of the heavenly worship that is taking place. That understanding is for the purpose of teaching his people here on earth how to approach him in worship, how we ought to praise God in the midst of the congregation. Secondly, we talked about the necessary heart attitude in giving praise to God. It's more than just the fact that you are feeling great inside from having just received blessings from God that you give him praise. Rather, you give him praise for the fact that he is your God and your maker. Thirdly, we examine the different ways of giving God praise. For example, by the opening of our mouths in giving audible praise, by clapping, by the raising of our hands, by dancing before him in worship, by using different kinds of instruments and such. Fourthly, we examine that praise is a God-appointed strategy of releasing his saving grace upon our lives, rather than the fact that he likes or needs our praises. That when we praise him with a sacrifice of thanksgiving, as written in Psalm chapter 150, verse 23, it makes a pathway by which God can release his salvation into our lives. So praise, in essence, is a ministry that restores the reality of the saving grace of God in our lives, that through praising God, the saving grace of God becomes established in our lives. It says in verse 4 of Psalms chapter 149 that through praise, the salvation of the Lord will beautify those who are humble or afflicted, referring to the fact that those who are humble will be as a child and not be overly concerned with their image or dignity before others. The humble ones have no other focus except to gaze upon their God, who is great and worthy of their praise. Unlike Michal, David's wife, who was concerned about personal dignity and tradition, the humble ones experience the saving grace of God because they are able to praise God for who he is. After having established such a premise of praise in verses 1 through 4, the psalm in verse 5 says, "Let the godly ones exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds." The idea behind the word "let" means that since there has already been such a realization of what praise is about in the previous verses, the people of God ought to understand and be moved to enter into a life of praising and exulting in God. It mentions that one ought to praise God even while lying in the bed, pointing to the fact that praise is to be incorporated into our lifestyle. It is not merely part of what you do whenever you are in a church service. There is a brother who shared that if he does not wholeheartedly praise and worship God during his daily devotional times with the Lord, that time will feel very much like living in slavery to the law, degrading to merely a daily ritual and very much lacking the vibrant taste of relationship with God. Praise is worship. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, it says, "Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of the lips that gives thanks to his name." The instruction here says that through Jesus, we are to regularly give to God a sacrifice of praise. This is a verse that is vitally important for all believers to commit to memory. It is part of the homework for this topic of praise. We are to regularly, through Jesus, offer to God a sacrifice of praise. From this, we can see that praise is the offering up of sacrifice to God. If you examine the life of Abraham, you will realize that whenever he travels to a place, he will set up an altar and offer sacrifices to God. This is how Abraham maintains an intimate relationship with God throughout his life. Wherever he travels to, he will set up an altar for the purpose of offering sacrifices to God in worship. Unlike many of us today, we fall into the tendency of only offering up our sacrifices to God while we are at church, only to forget him when we go out on vacations. We leave God behind while on vacation, while we indulge ourselves in pleasure, and then we go to conferences to diligently offer up our sacrifices to God again. That is not how it is supposed to be. Offering up our sacrifices to God, like Abraham, is a lifestyle. Wherever Abraham went, he sets up an altar to offer sacrifices to God. Therefore, again, the offer of our sacrifices of praise to God ought to be our lifestyle. Don't wait until you are faced with a threatening illness. Don't wait until you are facing spiritual warfare. It is a lifestyle that affects even the times that we are lying in bed. At the church in Hsinchu, Taiwan, the Christian brothers there love to attend the services in order to worship God. Not only that, but their worship and praise carries into their times at home. They live in a lifestyle of praise and worship. Some of them had shared with me that even in their times of sleep, it feels like they are still in the mode of worship and praise. Others have shared with me that they had encountered the filling of the Holy Spirit while going to sleep in their beds. Even others have testified the reception of the gift of tongues as they are going to sleep in their beds. There is one particular sister who had suffered the death of a fetus in the 9th month of her pregnancy. Now, the 9th month is pretty much when the baby is to be born, so it required surgery to remove the fully developed child. But the amazing thing is that she felt she was literally in a worship service while the dangerous surgery was being performed. As the anesthetics was being administered, she found herself falling into a state where she felt like she was in the midst of a conference that was rich with the glory of the presence of God. All of a sudden, she heard a voice calling her that seemed like it came from outside the conference center. She opened her eyes to see who it was that was calling her and found that she was already in the post-surgery recovery room. For a person who lives a lifestyle of worshiping God, even surgery can be transformed into a time of worship. For the father, God also did a special work in him. He had the opportunity to see the dead baby that was taken out of the wife's womb and was feeling a sense of loss because of how beautiful the baby looked. However, God spoke to the father in a very personal way. He told the father, "This death is like the offering of your firstborn to me." He assured the father that his child is now with him in heaven. That revelation brought such comfort and joy to both the parents. In fact, they were so caught up with the joy of the Lord that the man's mother was concerned that he didn't at least show some sign of mourning. As I reflect upon the life of praise, I have come to the realization that when we finally breathe our last breath here on earth, we will in the next brief moment enter into a place of eternal worship. It will only be a brief moment, and it will be merely a continuation of what I have already been living here on earth. What I enter into heaven will not seem odd for me, because I've already grown accustomed to praising and worshiping Him while living on earth. Just like in the singing of the hymn, My Wonderful Savior, I believe it makes many of you want to fall on your knees in worship as the song highlights the beauty of our Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I implore you to learn how to live a lifestyle of praise. He should be the center of our daily living. Do you recognize how amazing the life of this woman who lost her baby is? Because she had learned to live a life of constant praise, even going through surgery for her was a time of worshiping in the presence of God. After the surgery, the doctors explained to her that because of what had happened, her uterus had suffered tremendous bruising. However, she was released from the hospital after only 3 days without any feelings of pain. Now that is amazing. She kept thinking that she should be suffering from a lot of pain, but she didn't. There was no pain during the surgery as well as after the surgery. It's truly an amazing thing. God has His perfect will for our lives, and we may not know all of it. However, there is one thing that He has clearly shown us, and that is to live a life of daily praising and worshiping Him. There's another brother who testified that he had been practicing praise during the worship services at church. However, through learning more about praise, he made a decision to practice praise in the other arenas of his life until it becomes a lifestyle of his. Previously, he only praised God in the church services, but his decision was to begin to praise God in all other times of his daily life. In doing so, he encountered a power that enabled him to face the challenges at work. His relationship with his wife experienced a freshness of love for her. He also began to personally relate to the truth in Psalms chapter 22, verse 26, where it says, "The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek Him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever." It tells us here that those who enter into a lifestyle of praise will experience life and liveliness in their hearts. So that is why his relationship with his wife became so lively and vibrant. Sometimes, by God leading, he will call his wife on the phone and say, "I just called to say I love you." This is a marriage of over 10 years, not newlyweds. Praise will bring a new sense of resurrection of life to our hearts. This is such an amazing way that God has established for us to receive His saving grace. Life here on earth has a way of dulling our sense of life. We go through the routines of work and pay increase to the point that we have little reaction to pay increase. We might have married a beautiful wife, yet over time, it just gets dull. We put on new clothes with excitement, only to lose the excitement in a short time. This is how life tends to be here on earth. Just like what King Solomon wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes, where there really is nothing new under the sun, thus causing a sense of boredom over time. But if we know how to praise God in our lives, whether it is in an elevator or in a supermarket, we can with our mouths praise Him. Even if the environment sets limitations on being able to praise audibly, we can purpose to worship Him in our hearts. As you live in praise, you will realize that our hearts will constantly be vibrant and alive before Him. Why? Because God is a creator of new things. He is constantly in the process of doing new things. As we live in praise daily before Him, our heart comes into constant renewal in His newness. Our hearts will receive renewed appreciation of life and renewed moods. This is why praise ought to be our lifestyle. I hope that all Christians will regularly praise God in their lives. Take, for example, our morning devotional times with God. Morning devotions mean I approach God with worship and praise as a start to my day. Through that, my heart is renewed. Through my heart being renewed, I have renewed capacity to receive from Him what He wants to give me for that day. But if you don't first approach Him with praise and worship, morning devotions will merely be a few prayers, then reading a passage, then perhaps memorizing a verse or two, then ending up with a short prayer to close the time. What this looks like is the enslavement to law, legalism, without the renewal of the heart and the feasting on the daily manna from God. True devotions means that you can even worship Him while you are going to sleep in your bed. You worship Him while you are falling asleep, and then perhaps suddenly waking up in heaven. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Let's look now at Psalms chapter 149, verses 6 through 9. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgment written. This is an honor for His godly ones. Praise the Lord. It highlights here that there ought to be high praises, loudly given praises, in the mouths of God's people. As they are giving high praises, there will be in their hands two-edged swords. Praise here is described as a weapon of warfare that God has given us. Brian, a young brother in the Lord, testified that when he was 7 years of age, their family moved into a house in Costa Rica where he had his own bedroom. However, he was afraid to be by himself, so he often went to his mother in fear. But his mother responded to him by saying, "Whenever you are afraid, start praising God." So Brian went back to his room to sleep. During the night, he was awoken to the sound of loud footsteps coming into his room and then shaking his bed. In that moment, he burst out praising God by saying, "Praise Jesus!" causing the demonic presence to begin to retreat. He said again, "Praise Jesus!" And the demonic presence retreated to the doorway of the room and responded by saying, "I'm not leaving this room." Although Brian was filled with fear, he said even louder, "Praise Jesus! Praise Jesus!" causing the demonic presence to finally depart. Following, Jesus and His angels descended into His room in the singing of beautiful songs, as well as telling Him how much He was loved. Brian felt so touched that he wept and wept. He was filled with the Holy Spirit for the very first time. Jesus then revealed to him that all the times that he had felt others had wronged him were actually his own fault. Indeed, it is true that when we are enlightened by God, we realize how much we are at fault in many situations where we tend to think it's the fault of others. So you see, praise is a weapon that God has given us as His people. And through experiencing victory through praise, the heavenly angels will even join in the celebration of victory, encouraging God's people in their victory. Now, why is it that when the demons come, Jesus doesn't just do something about it? The answer is that even for a 7-year-old boy, Jesus wanted him to learn the weapon that has been given to him to be victorious. It's not enough that parents possess and use this weapon of praise. The children themselves must also possess and use this weapon. The parents' spirituality belongs to the parents. The children must also come to know and experience the God that their parents know as their own God. So even for a 7-year-old child, God wanted him to know how much the enemy fears the name of Jesus and how much the enemy fears the sound of praises to God. Praise is something that will knock out the enemy. If you want to live a life that overcomes the enemy, learn to live a lifestyle of praising God. Every time you give God praise, you knock the enemy on the head, causing him to retreat a few steps. We as Christians all have been given this weapon, for it says in this psalm that the godly ones can exult in this glory, a glory that enables us to bind up the enemy, defeat its forces, and lock up their fortresses. We all, from young to old, have the kind of glory in God that overcomes the kingdom of darkness through praise. Take, for example, Elijah, when he was facing a great throng of prophets of Baal, 1 Kings chapter 18. Elijah didn't act like the prophets of Baal by yelling and shouting at their God to do something. He merely offered up sacrifices and worshiped the Lord. God then looked upon what Elijah did and granted victory in that situation. Pearl Young, a spiritual mentor of mine, once took some people to visit a sick person. The one who was sick was suffering so much that it prevented the person from being able to sleep. Pearl then asked the people who went with her to enter into praise together with her, because she understood that when a sick person is intensely suffering, words of comfort really don't help. So the three of them began to worship by praising God through the lifting up of their voices in praising and hallelujahs, to the point where the one who was sick fell asleep. A few days later, this person was released from the hospital. A person suffering from serious illness became delivered and released from the hospital. The point to be made here is that when you visit someone who is sick, you can refrain from saying a lot, because what we say can be quite limited in what it can do. Rather, try bringing worship and praise into that environment. Through praise, allow the glory of God to descend upon the sick, bringing them the help that is really needed. Declaring praises loudly, high praises to God in worship, is very important. In James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." When you want to resist the devil, you cannot be nice and quiet about it. You cannot be so kind by saying, "Please, would you leave me alone?" That approach is useless. If you want to defend yourself against the enemy, you must defend with strength of loudness in your voice. You must, with loudness in the authority of Jesus Christ, rebuke him and command him to leave. It is important to remember that as you are facing the enemy, Satan and his forces, loud praises from your mouth is what's really needed. Through your praises to God, you can break through any dark clouds that try to overshadow you, as well as bore through any boulders that come your way. If you are willing to actively praise God, you can destroy any schemes that the devil throws at you. For example, if there are any of you who suffer from long-term bondages in the area of our personality, such as being extremely introverted, shy, very afraid to open our mouths to speak, very afraid of people looking at you, things like that, you might need to make a decision to regularly set time aside to be in the privacy of your own room, or to go out into the open country to loudly praise God with your mouth for a period of 15 minutes. If you are willing to do this daily for 1 month, I can guarantee that you will be a changed person. There's a brother who was suffering from being very introverted, very much in bondage to that disposition. Now, I challenge you not to think too quickly that this is merely a matter of one's personality. I declare in Christ Jesus that there is no introvert or extrovert. All should be submitted to the transforming work of God in us. Some who are extroverts need to be changed by God so that they can be able to be quiet. Others who are introverts need to be changed by God to become more active and lively. In Christ, our goal is to shed off what we are in the natural. As an introvert, if you keep isolating yourself, if you hide from fellowshipping with other people, and if how you live life tends to be predominantly by yourself, being afraid to meet and relate to people, unless you've been called by God and been brought into a season of spending time with him alone, you really need to find a place where you can go and do some shouting before the Lord. You can go and loudly declare things like, "Praise Jesus! Praise Jesus! Hallelujah, Lord, I praise you!" And as you do that, you will realize bondage from the enemy will begin to leave you. Now don't say, "No, not me, I don't have any spiritual bondages." Believe me when I say that these things are due to spiritual oppression. Christians, you need to be willing to understand the realities of the spiritual realm. It is unfortunate to admit that those who practice witchcraft and idolatry are ones who are much more understanding of the things in the spiritual realm, such as the power of praise. They are truly afraid when the people of God praise God in worship. Christians, on the other hand, often don't seem to understand the greatness of the one Jesus Christ who is in them. The fact is that through praise, we can receive as much saving grace as we need directly from the throne of grace. In many cases, if you have already sought God in prayer over an issue and you are not seeing any change, you can stop praying about it and start to give God praise and thanksgiving over your dilemma instead. Rather than continue to ask for God to come with answers, change gears and start to consistently praise and thank God for the situation instead. It says in verse 9 of Psalms 149, to execute on them the judgment written. Why? Because the enemy is constantly wanting to afflict God's people, and God has given us praise like a two-edged sword to execute judgment on what the enemy is trying to do. Instead of coming under the bondage of the enemy, we can, through praise, turn the tables around and bind the enemy's work. Through praise, we have a weapon that can turn what seems like a defeat into a victory. Brothers and sisters, if you are willing to be observant, you will notice that those in the church services who are willing to openly declare their praises to God find tremendous release and freedom in the Lord. You can investigate into this and ask the people themselves as to what they experience as a result of their praising God. Most of these cases are people who have been facing tremendous difficulties, who are under tremendous pressure, who are facing deep emotional pain from being mistreated, or who are under great sorrow and bitterness from within. These made a decision in their will to give praise to the Lord. God takes much delight in those who approach Him with such resolve. And the fact is that for those who make a resolve in their will to praise God in the midst of tremendous difficulty and hardship, loudly lifting their voices of praise to God, the windows of heaven will be opened and the glory and anointing will richly descend upon them. It's not because the person in suffering first gets filled with the tremendous joy of God, which causes them to praise and give back to Him. It can happen that way. But in many cases, the descending of God's glory and anointing upon a person is because that person has taken a step of resolve to give God praise. It is a decision of the will to give God praise in spite of being in the midst of tremendous difficulty. It is a decision of willingness to give God a sacrifice of praise over and beyond feelings, difficulties, giving thanks and praising God for who He is, rejoicing in Him, delighting in God as Maker and King. Often it is these people who experience the greatest glory and presence of God in them. Of course, another type of people who will encounter the same outpouring of God's presence and glory are those who have established praising God as a lifestyle. As these people enter into a church service, they naturally express to God the worship that is very naturally a part of them anywhere they go. In fact, for the ones who do live a lifestyle of praise, it is not difficult for them to be willing to give God praise and worship whenever they face difficult situations in life. Praise ought to be formed as a habit in life. I wonder if you already have praise as a habit of life. Through years of being a Christian, I have personally developed praise as a habit in my life. Whether I am sick, feeling uncomfortable in my body, under a lot of pressure in life, carrying a cross of suffering, being misunderstood by others, being slandered by others, under very difficult circumstances, I have learned to instinctively respond by taking off in praise. Kind of like the Israeli Air Force. The pilots are prepared to be ready to take flight at any moment that there is the slightest threat of enemy invasion. They are able to take their aircrafts into the air with minimal time lag. This is the level of alertness that Christians should have, an instinctive habit that will respond to the strategies of the enemy to bring bondage upon you by praising God. This response will release angels to come and do battle in the atmosphere over your situation. There's a book that I have read a while back which tells about a great spiritual revival at an orphanage in the Yunnan province of China. These orphans, greatly filled with the Holy Spirit, were seeing visions and experiencing visitations to heaven. They testified that as they were worshiping God in praises, their eyes were open to see the battle that was taking place between the angels and the demonic forces in the invisible spiritual realm. But what was really interesting was that when the people of God gave him praise, it enabled the angelic forces to quickly defeat the forces of darkness. What these orphans saw can actually be found in the book of Daniel. This is why Christians really need to understand the things in the spiritual realm. The Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, "Through him, Christ, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God." Do take note that we are to give sacrifices of praise through Christ, by depending upon Christ, definitely not by our mood swings. Perhaps your mood is doing great, so you decide to give God some praise. But then you face some mishaps, and you are in a bad mood, and you don't feel like giving God praise. That's a mistake, because it's actually during times when your mood is making you not want to give God praise that you really need to praise. You must understand that the enemy wants to use the mishaps in life to put darkness over you, while God, on the other hand, wants to release blessings. His allowance of tough circumstances is for the purpose of expanding our spiritual capacity to handle tough situations and maturing our spiritual lives. If we don't understand this, we will easily come under the oppression to the dark clouds of the enemy and fall into discouragement. But if we learn to live in praise, our praises will deflect the arrows of discouragement that the enemy tries to shoot at us. So you must learn that when you face mishaps and are feeling like you are being hit with a string of bad luck, you really must rise up and respond by praising God. An elderly pastor, Waldvogel, said that there are times in his life where he has to enter into constant praise for a period of up to 3 days in order to chase away the dark clouds that have come upon him. This shows us that just because someone is very spiritual, it does not automatically mean that it's easy for that person to drive the dark clouds of the enemy away. Sometimes the dark clouds are thick and heavy, requiring Pastor Waldvogel to have to battle back with praise for 2 to 3 days to get rid of the enemy's attack. Again, I want to make the point that it is important for us to know the schemes of the devil as well as the precious weapons of spiritual warfare given to us by God. There is the need to regularly use the weapons that God has given to us to the point where we are comfortably and habitually using them in the situation we face in life. For example, you face a difficult situation and you immediately use the weapon of praise by saying, "Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord!" and not letting your heart sink into depression. Perhaps you find yourself presuming things about others or being judgmental and critical towards others. In these situations, if you allow your mind to continue, you will open up yourself for the enemy to hold you in bondage to the spirit of judgmentalism. If that begins to take hold of you, it only gets worse. Your feelings toward that particular person will get more and more negative. It's the same when you presume things about people. The more you stay in presumption, the more you have tendency to justify that your presumption is right. These are all the schemes that the enemy wants to throw at you. Whatever thoughts that are not born in a spirit of love, you can label it as being from the devil. And the best response is to quickly defend yourself by giving God praise, or else you will get shot by the devil. And if you get shot by that arrow of presumption, your mindset will dwell on your presumption of that person. It will cause your entire focus to be on that person rather than on God. You will be drawn into darkness rather than living in the light of God. Be warned that the enemy often shoots these kind of arrows at us, arrows of judgmentalism towards others and arrows of presumptuousness towards others. The effect of these arrows is that it will cause us to suffer hurt within. Then, these hurts within will make us hurt other people that we relate to. Over time, the body of Christ, or the church, looks like a wreck with a whole bunch of holes. Be on the alert to use praise to defend and overcome the tactics of the enemy against us. Praise is also a means in which we maintain the presence of the Lord in our lives. In any given day, we come across many people that we have to interact with. Unknowingly, we pick up a lot of spiritual dust in our spirit. It may seem like it is not a problem. Perhaps just hearing some unwholesome talk one day and hearing more another day. But these things accumulate and begin to bring us down. Why? Because when we listen to things such as bad news, it tends to bring our spirits down. That would cause us to lose passion for God, lose faith in God, and slide down into disheartenment. But if we live in the habit of praising God, whether we are driving, going to the market, while we are taking a walk, and whatever else we do, by maintaining a spirit of praise through singing a worship song, through declaring with our mouths, "I praise you, Jesus," this will be like regularly wiping our spirit of spiritual dust. If we don't take caution to regularly wipe our spirit clean of dust, we might find our spirit being blinded before we realize that the dust has gotten too thick, causing us to be unable to see the glorious Christ. After my spiritual mentor, Pearl Young, was getting ready to return to Canada, after being filled with the Holy Spirit in New York, she was greatly concerned that she might lose the presence of God. She asked the elderly Pastor Waldvogel how she could continue to maintain the rich presence of God that had come upon her. His response to her concern was, "Regularly take time and opportunity to loudly give God shouts of praise. Perhaps you might be in environments that make it inconvenient to shout without bothering others. That just means that you should deliberately find times and places where you would be able to do it. If you do, you will greatly encounter the glory of God upon you." If we diligently examine the Word of God, we will find in many passages that God's desire is for His people to praise Him at all times, in every circumstance, and at every stage of life. You will find this to be true if you search through the Bible on the topic of praise. For example, King Jehoshaphat found himself facing an enormous enemy army in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and his response was to worship God in praising Him. Another example is the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 16, worshiping God with praise songs in prison in the midnight hour. As a result of his responding to God in praise, salvation came to the prison guard as well as his household. God is calling us to praise Him at all times, in every circumstance, and at every stage of life. There is a need for us as Christians to nurture a habit of praising God in our lives. The most important approach of praise to remember is through the decision of the will. Our willingness to make that decision to praise God means that our will is aligned with the will of God. Even though our mood is bad or our circumstances are terrible, because we are willing to align ourselves with God's will, we will in our hearts to give God praise and thanksgiving for what we are encountering. This is worth nurturing as a spiritual habit of life. It doesn't matter if the situations you face are so unfair and unjust. Your job is to nurture the habit of being able to praise God in light of the circumstances. Perhaps you have been mistreated at work. Having this habit means that you respond by praising God with your mouth until your inward mood begins to change for the better. If you merely give a half-hearted effort, it will be as useless as a fighter jet that is merely sitting on the runway. That fighter jet has to take flight into the air in order to effectively fight. In the same way, you need to wholeheartedly give God praise until you know that you have taken off the ground, until you sense that your downcast mood is being lifted higher and higher. So the entrance to praise through the decision of the will is a resolved belief that God is doing something that is ultimately good for me in all the bad situations that I face. That they are gifts that God is intending to give me that brings me blessings, which have purpose for me, which I truly do need. And because of this understanding of God's intentions, we are able to give God thanksgiving and praise. This applies even in your dealings with your children. Perhaps you are very disappointed with the way they are turning out in life. But if you are willing to approach God with thanksgiving and praise, God will bring change. You might consider ceasing from continuing to ask God to change this and that about your children. Instead, go to Him with praise and thanksgiving in regards to them. Through praise, invite the glory of the victory of God to fall upon them. If we are truly willing to give God praise and thanksgiving for all things, if we are willing to bring to God a sacrifice of praise in all situations, to nurture this as a habit, it will become part of our character. The mother of instructor Bai started to develop a life of praise in her young age, which lasted throughout the rest of her lifetime. In her 80s, she had to serve her husband, who was bedridden. She had to help him relieve himself as well as turn him on his bed. Now she happened to be quite small in stature, while her husband was quite tall. Even though it was a hard task, she joyfully did that for a period of 10 years. She told her daughter she would wish to have more years to serve her husband in that manner, instead of wishing that the Lord would quickly take him home to heaven. She was a woman in her 80s, with limited strength, with one daughter as a missionary in Taiwan, and another daughter living in another state as a pastor's wife. Yet she lived through those years with such joy, because her life of constant praise had become a part of her very character. So whatever she encountered in life, she responded to it with joy. She lived like this until she returned home to the Lord in her 90s. All to her was good and worth praising God over. Even when she visited Taiwan to attend a conference where all that was spoken and sung was in Chinese, she had such a smile of joy on her face, despite the fact that she didn't understand a thing, and her eyes were even suffering from glaucoma. Her spirit was with the joy and happiness of a happy little child. The weather was hot in Taiwan, and the streets were not pleasant. Yet she still wanted to be at the conference. That was her character. Now she is in heaven, continuing how she had been living here on earth, right there before God. We need to regularly praise God so that our heart exists in the midst of light rather than darkness. In this way, we can experience and understand the beauty of God's work in us as we face difficult circumstances. Take, for example, the person of Daniel in the Bible. It is because he had already established a lifestyle of connectedness with God that he would allow him to experience being thrown into a lion's den. God knows that Daniel was at a point of relationship with him where he could encounter being thrown into a den of lions and yet be able to praise God in the midst of it. You must realize that the growth of our spiritual lives requires many battles to be fought and won. Many of these battles are fought against ourselves as we learn to submit ourselves in unreasonable situations, to engage with God in praise. This kind of spiritual life pursuit is a life that will progress towards maturity. A mature life is not about encountering God in a church service and throwing a big temper tantrum after having gone home, acting like a tyrant, demanding everyone's compliance, and wanting to stay above everyone else. If that is the attitude you take, all the anointing that God poured into you in the church service will not be of any lasting benefit. If you observe the military, it is those who are fighting on the front lines that tend to quickly rise up in ranks to be generals. In the same way, God will raise up in spiritual ranks those who regularly fight their spiritual battles through praising Him in difficult situations. Rising up in spiritual rank means God increasing His glorious presence over you, enabling you to experience increased capacity to fight more and bigger battles. I do need to make a point of clarification here. If somehow, no matter what you do, it seems like your praise and worship of God continues to be powerless, you need to be aware that it might be an issue of sin in your life. David describes in Psalms chapter 32, verse 3, that when he kept silent about his sin, his body wasted away through his groaning all day long. So the only biblical reason to the lack of ability to encounter power in praising God is when you are not willing to deal with your sins before God. If this is your current experience, do ask God to bring potential sins to awareness so that you can ask for forgiveness from Him. Another problem area of sin is when you are living in unforgiveness and yet you are attempting to give God your praises. That kind of praising will be empty lip serving to God, because He first wants you to deal with your sin of unforgiveness. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24, it says, "If therefore you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering." Take note that it doesn't say that you're having an issue with another person, but that another person is having issues with you. You might say to yourself, "Well, I haven't done anything wrong to the person. I have treated that person quite well." But if you are aware that somehow that person has an issue with you, there is a responsibility to go and attempt to seek a proper resolution. You might have to find out from that person if you had done things that brought mistreatment and hurt. God's heart for us is that if we desire to offer sacrifices to Him, we need to first focus on our potential wrongful treatment of others. This is a special warning given to the charismatic churches who naturally like to come before God in praises and dancing. But the problem that I see is that these people are jumping and singing before the presence of the Lord while they are ignoring long-term dysfunctional relationships with the in-laws, spouses, children, and co-workers. In those cases, no amount of jumping, dancing, and singing of praises to God will amount to much. It is merely misguided hope. This kind of approach will not usher in the presence and glory of God upon the individual. Now, some people who are very open in their spirit may still experience a certain degree of satisfaction as they praise God while in sin. However, they will miss out on the deeper degree of being touched by God's presence. A deep encounter of God's presence in life tends to birth more desire for God, submission to God, and a greater degree of abandonment for God. If all we want is to experience the outpouring of God's presence into us and yet maintain reservations before God, such as holding tight to our money, such as only wanting God to answer our prayers whenever we have need, our spiritual lives will fall deeper and deeper into a state of superficiality. What we really need is for God to bring light to the things in our lives that need to be cleaned up. We don't like to admit that there are a lot of things in our lives that we need to honestly confront before God. We tend to want to settle for superficial happiness and feelings rather than step into richness of the true spiritual life. This problematic tendency often takes place within the charismatic churches. That is why there can be so much worship, dancing, singing, and joyfulness during a service. Yet a little thing happens and serious conflict takes place between individuals. Furthermore, in the church coworker meetings, everyone wants to assert their opinions instead of giving way to each other. Praise is a means in which God pours out His saving grace upon those who are humble before Him. This means that as a person sincerely approaches God in praise and worship, there should be a keen awareness of God's great love and one's own sense of undeservedness. So praise is not only about being happy. It is also about the experience of God's great love, which causes one to be more humbled in His presence. In the creation of mankind, God has deposited the yearnings for this kind of worship within us. There is a deep longing inside of us to worship Him. Worship can be understood as kissing the lips of God. It is an act of intimacy. And worship is made possible because Jesus Christ has already died on the cross, resurrected, and gone back to heaven, establishing the possibility for us to have a close relationship with God. Worship can be possible because Jesus Christ has won the possibility for us to have a relationship with God, and it is simply a response of love for what He has done on our behalf. So in praising God, we ought to set our focus on the fact that Jesus Christ has died on the cross on our behalf. And so now we are free to wholeheartedly declare our praises to Him with all our might. Don't you agree? I challenge you by asking, have you been rejoicing over the Savior who has died for your sin? Are you daily rejoicing over Him? Are you delighting in the fact that Jesus was nailed on the cross on your behalf? The fact is that God's only Son has died on your behalf, and He merely asks that you live for Him. Praise is like eating. No matter how much you eat, you will still get hungry in time. You can't think that just because you have done a good amount of praise during a church service, that you can skip having to praise while you are at home. You have taken your fill at church, but you still need to eat and be full spiritually after you go home. Praise is not intended to be something you encounter in a conference meeting so that you can live another life while you are at home. You need to continue living in praise and worship at home, staying in His presence. Furthermore, if you happen to have the gift of tongues, you can be free to move from praying in tongues to singing praises in tongues as the Holy Spirit leads. Understand that you can use your tongues to sing songs of praise and worship to God. Prayer often flows into praising and worship. It is quite common for a person to be praying for a while and then all of a sudden enter into a mode of praising and worshiping God. Other times, one may first approach God with praises and after a season of time, move into prayer. These two approaches are both good and typical of pursuing relationship with God. I really do hope that after all this discussion about praise, you as brothers and sisters in Christ will begin to incorporate it into your daily lives. I sincerely pray that God will bring us all into the practical reality of worship and praise in our daily lives. I ask that God's people will experience the great and glorious atmosphere that comes from praising Him. This is a truth that can only be experienced and understood by taking action. You know, there are a lot of truths in the Bible. Christians, unfortunately, have a tendency to pursue the experience of certain truths while being completely shut out to others. But God is a God of abundance. Every truth is given to us for the sake of being able to experience all of God's abundant blessings. Through praise, God is prepared to release much abundant blessings and glory to His people. Take note of the testimonies that have been given in regards to the blessings of praising God. Praise has radically transformed the marital relationships of certain people. Praise has revived and resurrected the hearts of others. So, Christians, you just cannot live a life where what you do in a church service does not match with what you do elsewhere in life. I pray that God will make us a people who sincerely worship Him with praise.
This concludes the 4-part teaching series titled Praise. It is our prayer that you have been greatly blessed and transformed as a result of listening to this teaching series. May God continue to impart to you the conviction and empowerment to live as a person of praise.